When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Roleplay Retcon does not own any part of the movies we retcon, nor are we associated with the artists who make them. Also, while we're not the rowdiest bunch, we are adults goofing off, so sometimes we might say some things someone wouldn't want their kids to hear. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. But I'm just gonna tell you up top this one thing. This is a very spider-heavy episode, okay? Welcome to Roleplay Retcon, the podcast that remakes the movies and lets you down. If this is your first episode, welcome. You can listen to our episodes in any order, as long as you listen to the first episode of a remake, and that's this episode. It may be the only episode, we'll see. The core cast of Roleplay Retcon is me, Benjamin Gray, he, him.
Me, Alex, also he, him.
And me, Jency, they, them.
This time we're reimagining our first animated film, Disney's Home on the Range. You don't have to watch the movie to enjoy our show, though we've been told it can enhance the experience if you watch it before or after listening to our version. And we're remaking it with The Witch is Dead by the king of one-page RPGs, Grant Howitt. And our guest for this episode is Grant Howitt.
It's me, the king of one-page RPGs.
My liege.
All hail.
Bring me more dice.
I've got the dice right here, me liege. Here they are.
I'm going to spread a rumor that Grant Howitt eats dice.
That's how I get my power.
Daddy, are we going to King's Island?
Every island I'm on is King's Island, boy.
Hooray.
Now finish your dice.
Alex has made the bold choice of doing a funny British accent in, like, in front of an actual UK.
That's, he's not going to have American kids, Ben. God,
like, yeah, fair, very true. I'd get rid of them. I'd put them back up.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't mind if you want to do a silly English accent in front of a silly British accent. In
yes,
front of me, because I think that we've behaved badly enough as a country to just kind of earn that. That's fine.
Oh, we behave badly as a country too.
Yeah, solidarity.
Which is the other reason why your accent is fine to do.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. You sounded just like Ben.
This is what you all sound like to me.
This is how we sound in America.
In America.
Put another gun in my big hat. I'm ready for war.
I would like one cheeseburger, please.
I like to think of myself as kind of like the weekend dad of one-page RPGs. Like I put the effort in, but you know, it's not lasers and feelings, is it?
You're the fun dad of RPGs.
Yeah,
I'm the leather jacket wearing dad with maybe a substance abuse problem.
You've got it locked in on quantity at least, right? How many RPGs do you think you've written at this point?
Over 100.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But most of them are short, and most of those aren't great. So it's like I'm running the numbers on this one. I'm taking the shotgun approach.
That's like 103 more RPGs than I've written.
You have written negative 3?
That's correct.
You've destroyed 3 RPGs.
I've discredited 3 RPGs.
He looked at other people's work and said, you shouldn't have written that.
Do you remember the Mystic Mace? You won't. I had it removed.
It's gone.
So I'm best known for my one-page games, I think, which is why I'm on the show. The most popular one is Honey Heist. Where you
hey, we did that!
Bears. Hey!
Good. Yeah, we remade the Country Bears with that.
I mean, that makes sense, because it's about bears. Yeah, I think you've used 2 of my systems before, haven't you?
Yeah, all the Disney movies we've done have been Grant Howitt games. I don't know what that means.
Interesting.
And then we also used We That Remain for Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, that was that one came out of left field. I think you're the first people to actually play that game.
I also bought Goblin Quest. I'm going to find the way to get that in the show sometime.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think Goblin Quest could very easily do some sort of Minions affair.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Not that I'd want to, you know, have to pretend to be a Minion for 2 hours, but broadly, I write one-page games. I also write long, serious role-playing games about, like, you know, toxic masculinity and colonization and the death of empire.
Ooh.
But everyone likes the ones with the bears in. So we use the sort of flashy, big, silly, the flashy, short, silly games to draw attention, and then whoever's left after that who still wants to read some more, we rinse those rubes for 50 quid a book by selling them Heart, The City Beneath, or Spire, The City Must Fall, which are our two most popular games at the moment, our two flagship games, which are about either going mad and dying in a dungeon or leading a doomed revolution, but they're both quite good fun. The our new upcoming thing, and this is my plug, I'm going to do my plug now, is if you go to rrdgames.com/hollows, RRD Games, it's short for Rowan, Rick and Deckard Games, it's the company which we set up, and Hollows is our brand new upcoming game, that's the one about the death of empire and toxic masculinity. Broadly, it's set in an alternate 1860s United Kingdom. There are these hideous, blind idiot gods called malignancies, which are forcing their way into the minds of the desperate and broken, and turning them into sort of personal hells, and corrupting the world around them. And you play a hunter, and you are going to kick in the back door of someone else's personal hell and kill their personal demons. So it's a half tactical combat game with a lot of what's the word? A lot of MMO influences, because we really wanted to take the idea of positioning. I was used to really like tanking in MMOs, but positioning is really tricky to work out on a tabletop game. So what we've done is we've taken a concept which has been popular in video games since 1987, and we've managed to bring lock-on targeting to the tabletop game table. In that we have a special combat grid for it, and the monster's always in the middle of the combat grid, and it never moves. So it's all about where you are in relation to it, and it powers some really interesting play. If you're interested in getting a soupçon of tactics and some interesting positioning into your role-playing games, especially if you're like a story gamer and you're like, oh, this is nice, but it's all a bit woolly, you want to come over here and try some mechanics? You can go to rrdgames.com/hollows and download the entirely free quick start for Hollows, which is up now. You can have that now. It has all the rules you need to play, 5 pre-gen characters, or 4, probably 5, and an adventure called The Sins of Grisham Priory, where you go and hunt a horrible bishop who's so rich he's become a dragon.
Wow, thank you for that. That sounds right up our alley. Because we love the story games, but also we really love, especially Alex, really loves the mechanics. So, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
So, I have not watched this film.
Same.
I'd not heard of this film before you got in touch with me and said you wanted to record this show. And we've got Disney Plus. I could have looked it up, but I couldn't find a single redeeming feature about this film in the previews.
It's got Dame Judi Dench in it.
Oh, it was 2002. Everything had Dame Judi Dench in it. She was in the Chronicles of fucking Riddick.
Movie's pretty star-studded. It's got Judi Dench and Cuba Gooding Jr. and Steve Buscemi and Roseanne Barr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is your second villain.
He plays a horse.
What? Of course, he plays a horse.
I know. The movie sounds interesting. It is not.
So, yeah, what's the scheme? What's the plot?
So it's kind of a meandering story that's a little hard to follow, especially if you get bored and start looking at your phones like Alex and I did. But I think it's about three cows who live on a farm called Patch of Heaven, and with a kindly old lady named Pearl, and the cows hunt a cattle rustler named Alameda Slim so they can claim the bounty on him and save their farm. And Alameda Slim can also hypnotize cattle by yodeling. I actually like that part.
Okay, yeah, I'm back in.
Oh, and he's played by Randy Quaid. and Randy Quaid gets a song.
Why is this?
I'm really glad I didn't watch it, because again, nothing you've said Is that how important is Roseanne in the like, is she a central
main
character?
Main character.
Oh.
Main character.
Like, the three cows are kind of the main characters, but she is the main characterist of the three cows.
Who are the other cows?
Judi Dench and, crap, what's her name, Alex?
The lady from Chucky.
Yeah.
The Bride of Chucky lady. Jennifer Tilly.
But she is seconded to by?
Subsumed.
She is lesser than Roseanne's character?
Absorbed into Roseanne Barr.
I would call Judi Dench's character the Lancer of the group.
If you look it up on IMDb or Google for the cast list, Roseanne is all the way on the bottom.
Well, now,
that's
yeah.
Interesting. Now, okay, we go by critics' rating. So what rating does this movie have?
It's like sitting at 52%.
Okay. I'll take 52.
A big reason why we're kind of calling this one a flop is it made considerably less money than Disney thought it was going to make.
Mm.
I mean, like, say what you will about the company. It's bad. They do have a pretty high standard of quality, I think, and this film fell short of what they're even their own standards. So
I guess Dench don't come for free, huh?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So it wasn't a success. It wasn't a critical success. It wasn't a commercial success. It hasn't made much of a cultural impact, let's say, because none of us had heard of it.
The animation of this movie is so weird. The cows are all very pointy.
What do you mean,
they've got those they got those weird bones coming out of all.
You just need to
places.
Look up a trailer for it, and you'll be like, I don't like looking at it.
Much of the third act of the film focuses on the cow's weird, sharp bones.
They are pointy, you're right. I'm looking. There's weird bones.
Mm.
It's happening.
It's the tagline to the film. Disney's Home on the Range. They got weird bones.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Now on March 22nd.
It's happening.
So since Home on the Range's biggest sin is that it's boring, so boring that even children would fall asleep during it, I think we're going to jazz it up a little bit. Going to mix some witches in and some witch hunters and witches familiars. You know, witch stuff.
Man, I love witch stuff.
I know.
Boy, does Grant have the game for you.
Yeah,
Does he? What is it?
Well, we already did say this, but...
Oh, dang it.
it's going to be The Witch's Dad. It's a one-page RPG. It's technically about woodland creatures that are witches' familiars. Well, you'll all play these familiars, but we're going to tweak it a little bit and make them farm animal familiars, or at least animals that might live on or near a farm in the American West in the 1800s.
Is this movie set in the 1800s?
I mean, it's the, like, probably late 1800s. It's the, it's pioneer times, you know.
What is this?
It's like
Grant,
an old West.
I feel like we messed out.
No, it's a trick.
It's not a good movie, guys.
Like, all they're describing elements which are individually fascinating, but combined, dog shit.
You're right, of course. Thank you. Thank you for that.
This is one of those movies that went through, like, a whole bunch of rewrites and stuff. It had a really troubled development. So, yeah, that's why it has a bunch of... it's all the cool ideas they kept from each rewrite, and then, like, Frankenstein them together, but it didn't live. The Frankenstein monster is still just dead on the table.
Frankenstein's corpse.
At one point, a duck on the farm does the Elaine dance from Seinfeld.
I'm back in. Gen Z, I was a fool. I'm sorry. I'm going to... If we can pause the recording so I can go
on.
Watch this.
Now,
and
hold
it's,
on.
It's lovingly animated, too.
And it's a scant 9 years after it happened on TV.
Now, I think we should call these farm animal familiars... Farmiliars. Okay, so this is, like I said, our first animated movie, and one of the few we've done that's made for children. So before I get into the real mechanics, I'm going to introduce a soft homebrew mechanic, like we often do on this show. None of us have to censor ourselves. You could be your raunchy South Park self. You can say fuck if you want. But if you're doing your character, movie stuff, we're trying to shoot for a G rating for the movie, okay?
Right,
you are. Oh, boy.
But Disney movies are often darker and more mature than people give them credit for. We're not making a Mickey Mouse here. We're making a Hunchback of Notre Dame. So everyone here, including me, gets one, I can't believe they did that in a kid's movie.
Oh, okay.
You can spend that to do something that pushes the boundaries of a G-rated animated Disney movie.
I'm noting this down on my character sheet.
Sissy, this is not something that will give you any kind of advantage against the final boss, okay? So you don't have to hoard it.
I don't have to hoard it.
I think if all three of us save it for the final boss. I can't believe they dropped a lift on the final boss and then ran him over with a steamroller.
Once upon a time, there was a kind and wise and beautiful witch who lived on the prairie with her familiars in Patch of Heaven, the cutest little farm in the West. The three of you are each one of these familiars. Familiars have four traits. Clever, which is how well you can interact with humans and understand them. Fierce, which lets you do lots of little animal things like scaring and dragging and pushing and carrying and biting and scratching. And sly, which lets you sneak and steal and hide, and quick, which is like running away from things and climbing and evading. And everyone has rolled a d10 to see which animal on a list they are. And all of these animals can also cast one spell. Nothing fancy, just some hedge magic to help out around the farm. So starting with Grant, tell us about your animal and what spell you have.
Well, my name is Ambrosia. And I'm a chicken. I'm one of those beautiful chickens with the big old pantaloons you done seen down on the farm. And who knows if this accent will stay. The spell I have is Distract and Confuse. And I like to imagine myself as something of a, yeah, you know what, something of an old mother hen. A sort of faded Southern Belle, Tennessee Williams faded Southern Belle style chicken. And I've got those pantaloons, but also the feathers around my lower half imply a petticoat and a bustle, that sort of thing.
Oh my!
My spell is Distract and Confuse, which I'm now regretting it because what an unexciting name I gave that spell. That doesn't evoke anything. So I've got to presume that my calm and gentle chicken will occasionally just go ramrod straight and vomit confetti. Up into the air to distract and confuse everyone. But maybe there'll be some other spells. But yes, I'm certainly the center of attention when I want to be.
Ooh.
All right, Alex.
My name is Pepper O'Dill, and I am a wild jackrabbit. And I have the power to conjure dinner because I am a wilderness restaurateur.
What's the name of your restaurant?
O'Deal's Grills.
So are you wild or are you tamed?
Yes, I'm a wild jackrabbit.
I think by definition you are not. Like if you are a familiar of a witch, like you're definitely domesticated then.
Do you just say that you're wild?
Sure, she has housed me and taken care of me and fed me and pets me all night long with my soft fur. But
I like to imagine Pepperdill has started wearing a little waistcoat and has put on weight.
I've got a little waistcoat, a monocle, and one peg leg. But I'm wild at heart.
Oh my.
I've been conjuring mac and cheese for the last 6 hours and I'm very tired.
That's right. Every child wants macaroni and cheese and I cannot stand it.
If it takes you 6 hours to conjure it magically, why would you not just cook it?
He does have opposable thumbs.
I suppose. That's true.
He also is very little. And you'd get muck on the waistcoat.
And then, Jinsy, tell us about yours.
Yes. My name is Sylvia, and I'm a spider. I'm a barn spider, so I live here in the barn. And my spell is Unseen Hand, which is pretty handy because I'm so little.
Like, a spider having a hand is such a game changer.
It's really what's been holding them back. Because a spider is kind of a hand.
Sometimes I just get on the hand. and then carry myself around.
No, I don't think you can do that. I'm just gonna go ahead and nerf that one right now.
You can't see it.
I weigh less than 5 pounds.
I mean, like, I know this isn't D&D, but you can't, like, have you ever played any video game ever? You can't get on top of your own levitation thing. Like, that's not...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
Listen, sometimes in Breath of the Wild, you can, if you jerry-rig it properly.
Yeah, you gotta glitch it just right. Tell you what, I'm going to let you do it, but we'll get into there's going to be a condition, and we'll get to that in a second.
I mean, but listen, because I could just fly with my little silk.
Oh, like Charlotte?
Yeah, just like Charlotte, so I don't even need the hand. It's just for show.
Also, the unseen hand is really dirty. I can't stress this enough, so it does show up.
Sometimes I put it in the mud.
Yeah, the hand itself is technically unseen, but...
What quaint article of clothing are you wearing, Jensi?
I'm wearing a little silk bonnet. I made it myself.
Those are some excellent animals. Just top-notch animals. 10 out of 10 animals. Everything you do in this game is a D10 roll, and you each have varying degrees of those four stats I said earlier, and we'll add one of those stats to that roll. Like, I'll tell you it's a clever roll or a fierce roll or a sly roll or a quick roll. And you have to beat anywhere from 6 to 10, depending on how hard it is. That's the different challenge ratings. Now, Grant, the author Grant, has a warning for you, and I guess for his future self. Remember, most tasks that are normal to humans are really difficult for animals, unless they're broken down into smaller steps. Remember that you don't have opposable thumbs, and all you know of the human world is what the witch taught you. If it's an especially dangerous challenge, or if you use your spell, you'll get a point of danger. So if it's gonna be dangerous anyway, I guess you can levitate around with your hand, Jensi.
Ah, thank you.
If your roll is ever less than or equal to your danger, it's bad, okay? You don't want to do that. And you can lower that by solving or running away from your problems. And I believe you start at zero danger.
Can we learn a bit more about the witch?
We're going to have a little opening cutscene here. The cutscene lobby did insist that I have an opening cutscene, and I've got a dog, and I've got some aging parents, and I can't go up against the cutscene lobby. I can't lose this job. Everyone, tell me one thing you do to help around the farm, and tell me one thing you like about Pearl, the witch.
Well, as previously stated, I give Pearl some of my silk, and also I catch the flies that bother all of the other animals. It's my pleasure, really. And Pearl is just so kind and gentle. She is not even scared of me or grossed out by me, which is not something that I can say about other humans, and I really like that.
All right. Grant.
Eggs.
And second question, same answer.
I provide eggs to the witch and her many hangers-on and gentlemen callers. The thing which I like most about the witch... What do I like most about the witch? She's so beautiful. She has perfect skin and shining hazel eyes.
I wonder what like an animal's concept of beauty in a human would be.
She has such a soft pink beak, and the feathers, her waddle is so non-distinct.
Okay, Alex.
Well, I'd usually do a good fair amount of conjuring of the macaroni and cheese for her various dinners. She also took my rear right leg for some sort of special luck magic. That's why I have the peg leg now.
Okay, well, you've made a very bold choice in the nature and personality and character of our witch, but sure.
Hey, she needed it, I gave it. That's what we do. And what I like about the witch, I suppose, she pets me real nice at night. She never did anything weird with my foot. It wasn't like a sex thing. So I do appreciate that.
Would animals be weirded out by sex things?
This one is.
This one's got a little waistcoat on. He's quite the civilized gentleman.
So I have rolled 2d10 on a table in the game to determine what the relatively nearby town of Hope Springs is like. I rolled a 4 and a 10, which is devoutly religious and oppressively perfect.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to get into a lot of, like dogma, like detail. Like, let's not trigger anyone's, like, religious trauma, but we'll just say that, like, maybe the people in town don't really like witches. Think they're evil or something, even though... I know. It's awful.
I had set it up as a fantasy religion, ideally. But yeah, like, I think it's one of the challenges. Oh, you know what? I can't believe they did it in the kids' movie. It's really expressly Catholic.
Oh, God.
No.
You're not going to spend that one? Okay.
No, you know what? Let's keep it light. We won't have any specific deities on Nephilim.
That's kind of how they did it in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, where they were like, I mean, like, it was Catholic, but they just never really got into Catholicism in that movie. They were just like, this priest guy is pretty nice, and this other guy is really mean, and that's kind of the two sides of religion. So
sure, let's give it that level of
Now we can diligence. We have done this before. We can just sort of, hey, anytime someone wants to just make up some cockamamie thing about this religion that they do, you can do that.
Absolutely.
But they don't like witches. They don't care for them.
But they do like cockamamie.
They do like cockamamie.
And bees.
Oh, my.
I also rolled a d10 to determine the witch hunter's vibe. And I got
what witch hunter?
Well, we'll get there. Witch hunter? Witch hunter? Got two. Which is wizened and wise. So I think this is a thing where, like, folks from town think witchcraft is sacrilege. But Pearl makes a pretty good side hustle off of folks, like, sneaking over to her place for, like, remedies and spells to help them out. Because, like, if anything's out of place, you know, they are oppressively perfect. And sometimes I need a little magic to help with that. So, a lot of Blazing Saddle style, I hope you'll have the decency not to tell anyone about this kind of thing. I've also rolled a final 1d10 for a twist, but only I get to know that for now.
But what number did you roll?
Not going to tell you.
Yeah. Oh.
Somewhere between 1 and 10.
I almost got him.
We could have had him.
So it's a typical day on the farm. You're okay with that, though, because every day being like the one before is great when you're on Patch of Heaven. And Pearl has the front door of the farmhouse open because it's a nice day. And she sees someone on horseback in the distance riding toward the farm. She says, like, looks like we got a visitor. Probably someone sneaking over here to get a wart removed before the girlfriend season. Or it's the bank bringing over their final notice again. Alex, what was your character's name again?
My name is Peppa O'Dill.
Yeah, Peppa, bring me the shroom dust so I could do a quick memory spell and wait until next month when he comes back with the final notice again. Okay, I have forgotten everybody's character name. I'm going to go write them down.
Ambrosia.
That's right. No, I'm going to open
a heavenly liquid, which is a weird thing to call a chicken.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
I don't want any of the liquids that come out of a chicken. I don't know. I guess the inside of an egg is pretty liquid. Yeah, yeah.
This chicken
juice
is heavenly.
I'm quite a fan of the liquids.
Sylvia.
And Sylvia. What a good spider name.
Have you need of any eggs?
Peppa might need a couple of eggs.
It's ready.
I've told you not to do that in the house.
I'm sorry. Is the wetness of my egg?
Stop.
Is the wetness of my egg marring your bedspread? Please let me brush it off with my big feathers. And Ambrosia starts
Just a sloppy egg.
Oh yeah, it's a sloppy, sticky, wet egg which is on the bedspread, and she's like trying to brush it off, right on the bed,
right in Pepper's spot.
Ambrosia, are you feeling bad?
I think the vapors are coming over me. I must excuse myself. Excuse me, and I'm gonna do like trick. Like Ambrosia can't fly, but she has a go, and that sort of that was a horse noise, but you get it. just sort of like chicken out the back door, and start pecking at some stuff which looks a little bit like grain.
There's a horse on the farm that's like in love with you.
Played by Cuba Gooding Jr.
The horse's name is Flop Sweat.
Flop Sweat.
Yes.
Flops.
Is that real from the film?
No. Okay, that's a Benjamin Gray original, baby.
Why, good morning, Flop Sweat. I'm sorry, I just squeezed out a wet egg and I'm feeling a little strange.
He's like, whatever you're doing, it's working for you.
Oh, hush, I say, and blush a little bit, which is weird because I got feathers on. And then I like to imagine that throughout the next scene, I'm sat on Flop Sweat's head, and he's just sort of cantering around, like slightly out of focus through a window.
Yes.
Yeah, we're having a nice time.
So this figure is riding closer. You can see it from very far away, you know, on the prairie. It's all flat. And as the figure gets closer, Pearl sees that it is not the pale, sweating man from the bank that comes every month. It's a man you've never seen. And as he approaches, his horse's gallop quickens, and he reaches for what looks like a big iron on his hip. And Pearl shouts at all of you. She says, "Baby, scatter! Run and hide!" And Pearl grabs several ingredients and quickly scatters them in a circle around her. It looks like something powdered and maybe a few different petals. And Pearl whispers to herself. And the man unholsters something, and two limbs spring out on either side of it. And it is not a big iron. It is a crossbow. And he shoots a silver bolt, and it gleams as it whistles through the air over the backs of the cows and the pigs, and through the front door of the farmhouse, and it passes straight through Pearl and thuds into a hoosier behind her. And Pearl vanishes in a puff of smoke, leaving behind her pointed hat and her overalls she dyed black herself and her trusty work boots. They flutter to the ground in a pile. Green ethereal flames dance around the clothing. But Pearl is gone. This is how witches die.
What's a hoosier?
A hoosier is like a little...
Not like the Irish singer.
It's like... you could put dishes in it.
Like a sideboard? A cupboard?
Yes, sure.
Okay,
yeah, cool. It's kind of a specific kind, but yes, it's a piece of kitchen furniture. Who's your cabinet?
I'm your cabinet. All three of the animals gather around the sideboard and have an extended conversation.
Yeah. What do you call this again? A sideboard or a hoosier?
Has this witch hunter character, has he fled? Is he sticking around?
No, he is. He has rode his horse right up to the farmhouse's door. And as he dismounts, you see that he's old. He's not frail, but his movements as he dismounts and approaches the front door are kind of slow and methodical. Like he has to take his time to do things.
Does he make the old man noise when he hops off the horse?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
I make the old man noise when I hop off a horse.
It seems like what he does is he trades being very slow for not doing all that grunting and wheezing.
Let's see if it works against horses. I'd like to charge the horse into him.
Oh, okay.
Ambrosia is stood on the head, and we see there's a shocked look on her face. Flop Sweat, undo this man, she says, puts down her feathers like blinkers on either side, and we hear the Ironsides music as the horse starts thundering towards this slowly moving old man. I don't know what role that is.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide between fierce and quick.
Well, it's plus one either way.
Let's yeah. go.
Well, just whichever one you want it to be.
Six.
Yeah, I was going to put this high. I don't think I was going to put it at 10, yeah. but I was going to put yeah. it at 8 at least.
I've marked danger.
Even though he's, like, slow, he seems to have very good reflexes. Mm. And so he has, like, plenty of time to just step slightly out of the way, and then you also crash. You crash through the front door of the farmhouse
oh,
and, like...
No.
And into the Hoosier. The Hoosier is obliterated as, like, Flopsweat and you are now in a pile on the floor.
Oh, and we're face-to-face, and it's kind of a little bit of sexual tension.
Yeah. Oh, so
except
we're going to make this
except
happen.
His face is 4 times the size of my entire being. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. These two are going to fuck on camera.
Ah, that's oh, going to be your
oh,
thing.
So you're saving it. You're saving it up. Okay.
It's the post-credits scene.
Oh, Lord. Can you handle all that flop sweat? I'm so sorry.
Jesus,
I'm so sorry.
I don't think flop sweat is sexual. Like, I don't...
It definitely is describing his penis.
He's got a floppy, sweaty cock, yeah.
I mean, like, maybe it was ruined by allosexuals, like everything was, but... like,
What else could it be, man?
I think flop sweat is just like... Flop sweat is when you're, like, really nervous and you're sweating... Which, like, yes, that can be a sexual thing.
What's an allosexual? This is an education for me, this podcast. Who's Hoosiers and allosexuals?
Oh, allosexual is just if you're not asexual.
Right, yes, cool. We do read sex into an awful lot of things as allosexual types.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you know what? I'm sorry. There is definitely sexual tension between these two creatures. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly just because, like, Ambrosia's so upset from the death of the witch, she isn't quite sure what's going on, and she wraps her big warm feathers around the horse's head, again, 4 times the size of her. Come away, Flopsweat, she says, and like cowering within the remnants of the Hoosier? His sideboard, trying to keep the horse safe. From being hurt.
He is in like full animal mode though. His eyes are wild. He has those like wild horse eyes, and he's just going
going off like dynamite.
The old man's boots thud and his spurs jingle as he walks across the wooden floor toward the pile of Pearl's clothes. He has worn a bandana until now, and he lowers it. And you all see that his face is wiser than you expected. It's not sneering or sinister. His brow is furrowed. He almost looks like grandfatherly. And he takes a small green box out of his jacket. It's kind of like a little jewelry box, but it's angular and harsh, and the latch on the front is a long cow skull. He doesn't open the box. Instead, he extends it toward the green flames around Pearl's empty clothes. And the flames flicker like a wind has suddenly whipped them into a frenzy, and they are inhaled by this box. And then everything is still and quiet. And Pearl is not here anymore.
Sylvia is going to try to sneak, like, around behind him and get on his shoulder. She's little.
I distract and confuse him to help.
Ooh.
Guys, the cutscene lobby is on my ass right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're not supposed to do stuff right now. Never mind.
Sorry.
I am in shock. Sylvia is just in absolute shock.
No, sorry, Ben. I'm really sorry. Ambrosia and Flopsweat both T-pose until the cutscene is over, just off camera.
I'm just joking. You cast your magic. You get on his shoulder.
Oh, and you have to roll for it?
Well.
Because it's cutscene.
I'm just saying, like, you could do stuff, but don't expect to defeat Alameda Slim here, okay?
it's probably best that I save Distract and Confuse later, because I don't want to blow the confetti too soon.
We won't do that, but let's let you get on his shoulder. So go ahead and do a sly roll, but I'm going to make it high. It's going to be really hard.
Well, I already rolled, so how high are you making it?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a 10.
Dang it! I rolled an 8.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing bad happens to you right now, though.
Do I get a danger?
No.
Oh.
No, because you just had a light on his shoulder, and the bad thing that happens is you weren't sneaky. He knows you're there.
Oh, ugh.
And he says, oh, howdy there. He also seems to notice you too, Pepper.
I came back with them. I came back with the powder. Oh, what happened to the witch?
You like Troy walking in that episode of the Community, and it's like, what happened? He says, "Howdy there, Alameda Slim's the name. Didn't notice you till now."
Well, I just came in.
He seems to understand you.
Oh, that's
how can
weird.
You understand me,
Papadil? Get away from him! He killed Pearl.
I'm guessing you all were her familiars.
Her familiars.
It's a good bit. Let's stick with it.
Would explain why I can understand you since I got her juice.
Her what?
It makes me a mite sad. I got a heart for critters too. But this is the price of progress, little ones. I got some advice for you. Go find a new home. There's lots of space on the prairie. And he just walks over to the Hoosier. Well, it's no longer a Hoosier, but it was destroyed. But the bolt, the silver bolt, that also is that's stuck in the wall behind the Hoosier. And he yanks it out of the wall. And he brushes Sylvia off gently. He mounts his horse and he rides away in the direction of town. All right, cutscene over. Thank you for being patient with me.
The camera zooms into the back of all of our heads. I'm gonna do my best to calm Flop Sweat by gently stroking his hair. His hair? Yeah, his mane with my feathers. I don't know what kind of role that is. Clever? Kind? It's clever to it's human to calm a horse.
Yes, but we'll make this very easy. You're good at doing that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I succeed. It's fine. I get like 9.
Yeah.
Flop Sweat's cool.
Flop Sweat does. He comes back to his normal self. His eyes are not wild anymore, and he is able to stand up on his own. And he
Hush,
says,
you lunatic stallion.
He says, oh, my little chickadee, Pearl's gone.
Well, I don't think we can find ourselves a home on the prairie. I mean, for one, Sylvia's a barn spider who needs a barn. I'm powerfully domesticated. And, well, Pepperdell, you'd be fine, wouldn't you? You're one of them outdoorsmen.
I am a wild hare, that is true. A jack of all rabbits, if you will.
Pepper, you'd be fine, but the rest of us couldn't hope to survive a week on the prairie. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to find ourselves a new witch.
Well, what about her? I saw her fire. It went into that box. Maybe we can get the fire out of the box.
Oh, Sylvia, you know nothing of the world. She's dead. You poor, simple arachne.
Sylvia sheds a single spider tear and closes her eyes out of shame.
Now, no, I'm sorry. You know, maybe we can get something. Maybe we can get her back. Let's have a look through these books. Now, who here can read?
An old goat that has been on the farm for longer than any of you appears at the front door, and she says,
name that goat.
Well, her name
that
is,
goat.
Name that goat.
I was going to call her Nanny, but I think that's dumb.
No, that's bang on what that's the film cute. Would have done.
Yeah. And she says, I can read.
Nanny.
Nanny.
And Nanny also, like, clops across the wooden floorboards. And she says, well, one of you hop up my front legs onto this bookshelf.
If there's hopping needs done, that's old Peppo Deal be hopping for you.
And so you help her up, and she with her teeth, grabs a book from the second shelf and sort of, like, flops it onto the ground. And then she says, oh, well, one of you with maybe some slightly more dexterous forearms, open the book to page 137.
Come along, everyone. Let's work together.
I'm going to use my unseen hand.
Yeah, let's not work together. You do it.
I'll just do it. See, I can do something.
I think, like, you're supposed to get a danger if you use magic, but we're not in town around people, so I think it's okay if you use magic on the farm without getting a danger point.
All right, everyone use their magic real quick.
Absolutely.
Magic, magic, magic.
So, yeah, you use your unseen hand to flip the pages, and it opens to a spell, and Nanny explains to you that there's a chance that you can bring Pearl back to life if you can get, and she's a little squeamish when she says this, Slim's eyes and bring them back.
You sure about that? Because I doesn't, I mean, I feel like an amulet would be more tonally consistent.
Okay, here's the thing. I had it this way because I was like, no, it would be incredibly disrespectful to Grant if I changed this. But like, yeah, no, let's take it back. It's got a picture of that box he had on this page. And she's like, I can't read everything on the page, but if
I can see the human words for box and I are very similar. They have the same number of letters after all.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you guys are like, Nanny, I think that's a picture of a box. And she's like, oh, so it is. Yeah, if you can bring that box back here to where she fell, you can probably revive her. Maybe.
Oh, that sounds much less grand house. He must have headed back off to town. He said this was the price of progress. I gotta presume he's one of those fancy big city folks. One of them fancy big village folks from Paradise, what was it called?
Oh, Hope Springs.
Hope Springs.
Hope Springs.
And Flopswith says, I don't remember Flopswith's accent, but
I think
it was not Southern.
Mine.
I remember that. Flopswith,
I fear mine is spreading.
It's like, I could ride you into town. I've never been there, but
surely it would make more sense for me to ride you into town.
But
What did I say?
Ride you into town?
You could have a horse ride to check.
I can drive you into town, I guess.
Oh, Flopswear, you poor simple animal. You'd crush me. And that's
your
not happening until the third
horse.
Act.
She says, I think you three, now there's lots of familiars here. Like basically every farm animal is a familiar, but they all collectively decide that you three are the best for like an infiltration mission. Everyone else is like cows and pigs and stuff. It's so weird that it would be cows. Why would they send cows on a bounty hunting mission? That's insane. No. We're going to get a magic spider, a magic chicken, and a magic jackrabbit.
All the cows are too scared to leave the farm.
I think they all tell you that they got your back, you know, if you need them, but they're
metaphorically.
You never know. So, but Flopswit will ride you into town, but he's going to stay on the... I don't know. How else would I say it? Carry you? I guess he'll carry you into town.
Oh,
yes,
my poor chicken.
Yes, he'll carry us
back
into town.
It'd be hard enough to carry another chicken, but this is a full-grown hog.
We were supposed to be so much further along than this by this point. Anyway.
Absolutely. I would love to sit upon Flopswit's head, like, you know, like one of those baskets you keep eggs in that has like a ceramic hen on top?
Yes, yes, of course.
One of them. Brutally sit on top of his head and ride him into town, steering him.
It's like Flopswit's like, Ambrosia, darling, I don't really need you to...
You poor, stupid, ignorant beast. And peck him gently on the head in what I thought was an affectionate manner, but I do have a very sharp mouth.
Yeah, he like flinches.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to make you roll to ride Flopswit. Flopswit's an animal too. He knows what it's like to be an animal. Doesn't know exactly what it's like to be one of you, but he's gentle as you ride. And you arrive at the town of Hope Springs. And it's not big at all. It's one of those like little like stupid small towns in westerns that have like 8 buildings tops. But the few buildings that are here are pristine. It's somehow even free of the dust that surrounds it on all sides. And most notably, it's covered in silver. There are 2 streets crossing through its middle, and they are also paved with shining silver. Paved roads at this point in American history is unheard of. And yet, this tiny little town has a crisscross road that's paved in silver.
How's the church?
Pristine. Covered in silver.
Mm. And present. Extant.
Listen, man, it's a one shot. I didn't have a lot of detail prepped, okay?
I think...
And I didn't. I figured you didn't have it written down.
Yeah, no. I've got a listen. I've got a map of something called Silverton that I stole from Pinterest. I decided to not call it Silverton. There is a chapel. Let's see on this map. Yeah, it's kind of off of the main road, but it's the tallest building in town, so you can see it basically from wherever.
It's beautiful, pristine, shining chapel.
It's like if you're looking, like, as you're coming into town, it's like over to the right.
What can we hear coming from the town as we approach? Is it busy? Is it quiet? Are they having a service?
Let's find out what time of day it is. I'm going to roll a d10 and just interpret that. Guys, where did I put my d10?
Up your butt?
Did you check your butt?
Oh.
Did you eat it for power?
I'm just going to open my drawer of dice here.
No, Ben.
I rolled a 3, Ben.
No. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
I rolled a 3.
Why don't you roll a d12? I'm going to roll a d12.
Okay.
It's 2.
Midnight.
I think that means it's very early morning. And I like the idea of there being...
We have a system for dividing time up by 12!
Man, it's 2 p.m.
Why wouldn't it be 2 a.m.?
Because...
It could be 2 a.m., yeah, that's fine.
No. I'm interpreting this as a base 24 thing, and each pip is 2, so I'm calling this early.
It's 4 a.m., obviously.
I don't know if it's 4 a.m. It's just really early, okay?
It's 3 a.m.
Look, I don't know why I did this, because I was never going to stick with it anyway. I like that there's a service going.
Winter arrives.
I like that there's a service going. It does look kind of like a Christian church, but there's not a cross on it.
Oh, okay, what have they got instead?
It's a JRPG church.
Ah. Copy of Final Fantasy VII.
What is on it?
There's a bell. There's certainly a bell up there. A gleaming silver bell.
What kind of symbology they got going
on? A bell. There's a gleaming silver bell.
it's mainly bell themed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, bell. Bell's very, very, very bell forward.
Mm-hmm. Bell-centric culture.
And yes, you hear, like, singing coming from that chapel, but there it doesn't seem to be a lot of activity.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the bell.
I thought they were singing silver bells.
Amazing bell.
It's such a good bell. Anyway, sure. Whichever one you like.
Alex didn't get to sing.
It's fine.
Oh, no, Alex, you have a beautiful voice. It's not fine. Go.
No, my voice is dead.
Oh, you don't have even one silver joke, song joke?
Bell.
Listen, I was trying to think of one, and then Grant stole mine. Oh. It's fine.
It's Grant's fault.
Yeah. Coming over here stealing your jokes.
She's got... silver
eye. So
that's what they're singing at church.
Yeah. It's not a Christian church.
It's still a church.
It's just a bell factory. They just make bells. Oh my.
We think it's a church.
I don't know if I'm going to commit to that.
Oh. Okay, so there's a service going on. One of the traditional Hope Springs 3 a.m. services. The beautiful, pristine silver bell. 4 a.m.
Because we rolled a 2, so it's 4 a.m.
4 a.m., absolutely, yes. Everyone knows you double it to get 4. The sun is just dawning. We're in the gloaming. We'll say it's summer.
British word alert.
And we're we're in the in between times, as it say.
The Legend of Zelda in between time world.
In between time. In between time princess. Sounds like it is a color. I'd like to try and as best as possible sneak up on a horse.
By which I mean sneak up riding a horse, not surprise the horse. I'd like to try and approach this. I figure it won't be too hard because they're all busy singing.
I would also like to sneak on the horse.
Okay, well, so I guess the plan was for Flop Sweat to wait for you outside town, but if you want to convince him to sneak as well as a horse can sneak, I will allow one of you to do a sly roll.
Maybe all three of us should just sneak in then, and we can have Flop Sweat as some sort of, like, he could be the reinforcements.
Yeah, Flop Sweat's your fast travel mechanic, so.
Yeah, we gotta keep the engine running.
I want to treat him as a sort of smart bomb, but only indoors.
I'm going to conjure Flop Sweat a dinner of oats.
Okay, well, that will be dangerous, but it will be an easy roll. So give yourself one danger, but you can do a plus one clever, I guess.
Yeah. I rolled a one.
Oh, my.
Well, it's not very good.
Nope. They're bad oats.
I think what happens is, like, magic's not entirely quiet. And, like, you accidentally, you accidentally, like, conjure, like, acorns instead of oats. And it's just, like, a deluge of them. A deluge.
Nature's
how do you say that word?
Firecracker. Acorns.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, so.
It's popcorn.
It's possible someone heard you.
Oh, dear.
Oh, quick.
I'm not a
quick,
deer. I'm a jackrabbit.
Yes, quick. Let's hustle away from this horse before it eats all the acorns.
Yes. Run away.
I'm going to bluster around the back of the church and see if I can see what's going on inside. Is that a quick check?
Yeah. Do that.
All of us?
Thanks. I got 11. I'm gonna flutter up at the side window of the church. Ideally, they have a stained glass image of a chicken, which I can sort of just occupy.
Yeah, it's like you could like perfectly stand in it. It's a nice visual gag for our podcast. And it's honestly just a seemingly run-of-the-mill church service. This room is packed, though.
Mm.
Like, there can't be many more people in town that aren't here.
Do I see the witch hunter anywhere?
You do not see the witch hunter specifically. And you're pretty sure you can see everyone in this room well enough. You'd be able to spot the guy.
My vision definitely doesn't run out 6 foot in front of me. My vision is not specifically designed to find little bits of grain. I'm going to hop down. Well, that dastardly Alameda Slim. Did he give us his name?
He did.
I think he did, yeah. Mr. Slim isn't inside the church. Or Bell Factory. Which means he must be. And I realize I don't know what people do.
He's elsewhere.
I have an idea. Why, that typically in these weird, strange theological buildings, they only have but one entrance and exit.
Terrible fire risk.
Why don't we just bar that entrance and exit, and then we'll have the run of the entire town without having to worry about any of these other folk.
That's mighty smart of you. Now, how are we gonna bar this? If only we had some kind of unseen hand. Or, I suppose, seen hands.
I have an unseen one. Is there a plank of wood nearby that I can pick up with my hand?
Churches like this are often, or at least were, often built to withstand forced entry. So there is a nearby plank of wood that is seemingly intended to be put on the front of this door.
Wouldn't it go on the other side?
They may have one there too.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to encourage and support the spider.
You got this.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to roll for it.
Hey, GM pro tip, if you ever do something in the world that doesn't make sense, like something to bar the door from the outside, just be like, yeah, weird, huh?
Yeah, it's one of them punishment churches.
Yeah, how strange that they would have that. A mystery.
They do it every time in Western movies. They get the whole town in the church, and then they burn the church down.
I seen it.
Okay. I'm behind the spider, rubbing its shoulders like a boxing trainer.
Ah, thank you, thank you. I got it. Let's go. What do I roll for?
I don't know. Are you trying to do this without anyone noticing you doing it? Or...
Yes, of course.
Okay, then call it a sly. I'm going to call it an 8.
Well, I got a 7 plus 3 is 10.
Yeah, boy!
I stick it up there. Real sly.
That, that's what she said. No one seems to notice you do that. They're just still singing away on whatever song they're at now. And maybe Alex has had time to think of a funny joke now?
Now we'll just set the church on
fire. Pepperdale's been toying with a lighter the whole time.
Pepper's just in the back, like, just rubbing two sticks together as fast as he can.
I will let you do this if you spend your I can't believe they did this in a kid's movie.
I don't think there's a need to not burn yet. Down the
Later.
Entire church
well,
of
you're
the
doing it, man.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
I mean, you don't have to.
This is just Pep's like internal monologue. Surely there's no need to do that.
Do you want to burn the church down or not?
No.
let's see if there's a like a guest house or an inn or I guess it'd be a saloon in this sort
I'll
of
I'll tell you what's nearby.
Sort
of let's see. I got lots of things. You can see at least one house. There's a corral with a few other animals in it. There's a saloon. There's a blacksmith, there's some stables, there's a what appears to be a hotel, like you said, the Gym Hotel.
Hotel?
I think this might have been a real town.
Yeah, it sounds like
it. I think this might be where, like, Boot Hill is.
Is that a real place?
Ginseng? I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Is Boot Hill legendary? Was it a real place? Don't know. There is an assayer's office.
Does anyone need anything assayed? Can we get the horse assayed? What's a saying?
Okay, boy, I was sure hoping none of you would ask me that.
Yeah, then tell us these things in life.
Fine, I'm going to Google.
To the Google.
Definition. And a sayer is an analyst who assays. Great, thanks, Google.
Oh, great, thanks, Google.
Google.
It's performing chemical tests on metals. Don't know why this town would need that, but...
Because of the silver.
Oh, my God, that's actually very important to the town of Hope Springs.
A hotel seems like a sensible place. If if this guy's not local, we've not seen him around before. He's probably staying in temporary accommodation. And if a hotel is that, then we should go check that out. It sounds quite hard for a chicken to search a hotel. So what I'd like to do is maybe we could ask the other animals in the corral and the stable, see if they've seen anything. Well, like surely his horse will be around, right?
That's a capital idea.
So Grant. I'm just going to spout your own rule back at you.
Oh, hello.
You can really only communicate with animals that are similar to you, unless they're other familiars. You can talk to each other, obviously.
I bought a horny interpreter. Flop sweat!
That's right.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, there are horses. There's a horse corral. There's also a couple of cows.
How is the corral? Is it okay?
Got him.
Right. So, Ben, what I'm asking you to do now is to one, pretend to be a horse, and then two, pretend to be another horse who could understand that horse and tell me what it says.
Like, I wonder if I could run it. No, we don't have time for that. I really wanted to, like, run it double through Google Translate.
I don't think they have horse on there.
No, but I was going to do, like, French or something, because French is the funniest language.
Closest.
Because all horses speak French.
All horses speak French.
Au cheval. Ouais. Fortunant, je parle français, un petit peu.
Well, unfortunately, I do not.
then what I said will sound almost like French to you.
Yeah. Were nice. You not speaking like really good French? Because I honestly assumed you were.
I think I got 5 things wrong.
Can Alex be the other horse?
I think I need to probably give you the information the GM would know.
I'll tell you every information you need. Not to the guys right in the hotel. That's right. I also tell you he's got a big old weak spot on his butt.
On his butt.
If you hit him with an unseen hand right across his butt, he just melts into butter.
All right. You aren't sure whether or not that's true? Please also ask the horse a question.
What's your name, mysterious friend?
My name is Horse.
Can we call him Butterscratch?
Okay, my name is now Butterscratch, I've been told.
Butterscratch!
Butterscratch. So you don't like this witch hunter who's riding you very much, no?
No, I don't.
Why?
Well, he hits me awful with his spurs, oh. And he calls me Butterscotch, which that's not my name. My name's Butterscratch.
Oh, Butterscratch, you poor, stupid, idiot beast.
I'm a poor, stupid, idiot horse.
I'm going to take my wonderful, soft, fluffy feathers and gently stroke over those sore old spur holes in Butterscotch's flanks.
Oh, that feels so nice.
I think, like, Flop Sweat is, like narrowing his eye.
I forgot I'm doing
and
this.
And he starts, like yeah. snorting out of his nostrils, and they're flaring. And Flop Sweat is like, did you have a question for Mr. Butterscratch? His voice has changed a third time.
I like to imagine he just starts deliberately mistranslating it wrong. Butterscratch says you're an asshole.
Yeah, he says that you don't have beautiful feathers and the most pristine and perfectly shaped beak he's ever seen, and eyes the color of the sunset.
He says he bets your kisses don't feel like God's eyelashes.
What a rude thing to say.
Well, thank you very much. I guess you don't know what room he's in the hotel. I suppose that's too much to ask, but... Tell me, is he a proud man? Will he be in a fancy room, or will he go for something more down-homely?
I tell you, he told me he was in room 308.
Weird thing to tell your horse. Also, it's one of them three-story Wild West hotels.
I have a question, Butterscratch. Why? Why did he do that to our Pearl?
I guess he just hates witches.
Yeah, it works.
That's what he kept murmuring. He was just like, daggum witches, I hate them.
I've lost complete control here.
I'm gonna murder me a witch.
He said it was about the price of progress. Is he some kind of land? Is he working for land developers? Trying to get Pearl to sell the farm by killing her?
I don't know. I'm a horse.
No, that's very true. I suppose you ain't read his portfolio.
Nope. All I know is he hates witches, and he lives in room 308. And his weak spot's his butt.
You've helped us immeasurably, Butterfuck.
What?
I don't remember. It's not sticking. Butterscratch.
It's Butterscratch. Nobody fucks my butter.
You know, that was my I can't believe they did.
No, that's okay. No. See, that's just you making a joke in the writer's room.
Ah,
you don't have to censor okay, yourself. Yeah. It just didn't make it into the movie, and we all gotcha. Had a good laugh yeah, about yeah. it.
Great. Then I think our way forward is clear. We should go to room 308 and take back this guy's box.
Just make sure you control F before you, like, send it to Disney and, like, take out all the butterfucks. But yeah. Yeah, you can do that. I'm going to... Here, this... Hey, this is me. I'm taking control of my game back.
Oh, no.
Aww.
Stand down. All right, where is he?
Everything Alex told you is at least canonically what the horse told you.
But he is a poor, stupid, dumb horse.
Just,
or
just
whatever
nothing
it is she
going
said.
On. Now, I say, as we walk in front of the hotel, and we perhaps hear the banging of a door as people try to get out of a church. Who here
you
knows
are,
about...
You are... Time is running out.
Who here knows what numbers is?
I think I know what numbers is.
Okay, find us 308, please.
You can see, maybe just from the street even, that this hotel, it does have some inhabitants in it.
Oh,
you can
no.
see movement in some of the windows.
Godless heathens.
Yeah.
We gotta be sneaky.
Their silver is tarnished. We're going to go Dark Souls with this.
I want to sneak around on the walls and the ceiling and see if I can see 308.
Yeah, this is it's a big square building, and all rooms presumably have a window, so you could technically find room 308, but like I don't think you know which room 308 is.
That's why I want to in the inside. I want to go on the inside.
That sounds like a clever role to understand what humans do.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, this isn't a sneak. I think as a spider, like, you're going to be unseen if you're on the side of a building. But yeah, clever to try to figure out which room is the right room.
Okay.
And we're going to put this at a seven. I'm going to put it at a seven.
It doesn't matter. I rolled a two.
Like, yeah, hotel rooms don't have numbers on the inside of the door. So you can't tell which room is 308 from where you are. And you don't think you have time to just break into every room and try to figure out which one is which.
They don't have numbers outside the building. I cannot see it.
They're hiding. Hey, Pepperdill, you still itching to burn something down?
Oh, you know I do.
Well, I can think of one way to flush a witch hunter out of a building if we don't know what room it's in. And that set the building on fire. And we went outside here with, I guess we could use the horse. How are we gonna harm this witch hunter when we get our hands on him? Or at least we don't need to harm him, do we? We just need to steal the box.
I'm gonna slap him on the butt.
Apparently, his butt is his weak point.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Apparently,
in which case, all we gotta do is hang out by the door. When he runs through, we all take a lunge at his butt. One of us has got to work.
Yeah,
I'm gonna conjure a giant plate of spaghetti. And I'm going to conjure it right there on the floor.
God's
when
dinner.
He bends down to eat the spaghetti, because no man can resist the allure of floor spaghetti, we'll have the spider use its giant unseen hand to whip him right on the behind.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, you got to find him first.
All right. Well, let's set the building on fire.
Do any of us have fire? I cannot make fire.
I could take these two sticks and rub them together really fast. I think I saw that on a television program once.
You are the fastest of us.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to say that, like, part of your ability to conjure food means, like...
I could conjure a spicy risotto.
Yeah, you could conjure, like, a fondue pot or something. Or, like a
baked Alaska.
A food that is on fire. Yeah, like a creme brulee or something.
Creme brulee, famously on fire.
I mean, you torch the top of it. Some sort of awesome flaming drink, maybe?
A baked Alaska. I'll do a baked Alaska.
Those are famously cold.
But they're on fire, aren't they?
What? That's the baked part. They're on fire.
Yeah, a baked Alaska is something that it's an ice cream that you set on fire.
I thought it was a fish.
If I was thinking of flaming food, I'd probably go for a Christmas pudding would be my traditional.
All right. Well, since we can't agree on the baked Alaska, I will conjure a flaming onion volcano from a hibachi place.
So mark a danger, and I'm gonna I think setting a building on fire is actually like distressingly easy. I guess I'll call it a fierce just because we haven't done it yet, even though that doesn't feel quite right.
Well, I rolled a six.
So yeah, you like this has like a little front like porch kind of thing. I guess you don't call it a porch if it's not a house, but you know, it's got a couple rocking chairs out there. And this just goes ablaze quickly.
Hang on, hope we set the exit on fire.
Oh, should I have not done that?
Well, here we are.
Yep, there we are. Maybe this place has a back exit.
So you see that people are starting to flee the building, screaming, their butts are on fire.
I would like to move out of the way so I do not get trampled.
I think all of you need to do a quick roll. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it easy. It's going to be another six.
I pass.
I got an eight.
what did you get, Cincy?
Well, I rolled a one.
Oh, no. Do you already have danger?
But it's a quick roll, and I am... one quick, so that's two. So that's one more than my current danger.
It's the unmodified roll. Dreadfully sorry.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay, well, yes.
Take that, Chintzy. Oh,
I did take it.
Get hurt.
It hurt. It hurt.
Chintzy, I'm so sorry, but...
Did I die? Am I dead?
I'm going to spend my I can't believe they did that in a kid's movie.
Lord have mercy.
Someone just stands on the spot.
Oh my God.
No.
Oh, it's worse.
Jinsy had the hand.
Oh no.
The whole crux of our plan.
Well, now you can't slap the butt.
That's cool. I'll use her body as a hand.
Listen, what happens is you actually dodge everyone that comes out. Like, yeah, you guys kind of, this was already part of your plan. And then there's this like moment where you're like, huh, Witch Hunter didn't come out. And then a shadow like looms over and you turn around and look up and you see Alameda Slim, the Witch Hunter, with the sun behind him. And he lowers his foot onto Sylvia.
Is this like implied threat or implied violence?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we hear it?
Yeah, it makes a like soft crunching sound. And like a really sad dramatic musical sting happens.
He goes, "Oh, spider."
I told you to find a new home. I told you to find a place anywhere in the prairie.
Can we have him throw Sylvia's limp spider form over at us?
Yes.
Okay. So I've got Sylvia. I'm embracing Sylvia. Sylvia's little quivering body. Or is Sylvia dead yet? Or are they dying?
Am I dead?
You can have your dying moment.
Oh, Sylvia, you poor idiot, stupid. You poor spider. Oh, he caught you. So I'm gonna wrap my feathers around Sylvia. Oh, Sylvia. Oh, don't worry, little thing. We've got a plan for you. We'll get our revenge. You can go up and eat flies in the big web in the sky. Shh, 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 shh.
Ambrosia, Peppa.
Yes?
You two are my favorites. Please save Pearl.
Never you worry. We'll save Pearl, and we'll look after all your webs when we get home.
Thank you. I have about a million babies in the ceiling of the barn. They're gonna hatch soon.
That's viscerally confronting.
Please take care of my favorite pig. That pig is really something.
Is that
your death?
That
now?
Was my death sound.
Got, yeah. All eight of the legs go limp. I'll turn to Pep. Pep. We got one shot at this. Now I'm gonna create a distraction, but I need you to use the spider as a hand to slap this guy across the eyes.
All right,
that's something I can do.
This is the closest thing either of us got to a hand right now.
Jinsy, I'm gonna have you roll a new d10.
Oh,
what is it for?
You're gonna make another character.
Oh snap! I rolled a 4.
That is...
Spider. Oh my God, it's another spider!
It's Sylvib, the next one along.
It's one of Sylvia's kids.
Yeah.
it's Sylvia's million children.
Yeah. Yes, you are a collective swarm of spiders that all share a hive mind.
Oh my God.
They're like Spider Voltron.
And so... roll your spell. What can this? I don't know why you would know a spell right out the gate.
Please roll one. Please roll a one.
I did not. I rolled a 6.
Make flame.
Make flame.
Would have been real handy earlier. But so the hotel is burned to the ground, and the church is that bar is looking weaker and weaker. So what are you guys gonna do now that? Sylvia's children have arrived and...
Yes, we sense our mother's death. We have come to avenge her death.
What do we call you, Sylvia's children?
Sylvia's children is fine for now.
Oh, boy. Wait, now, Ambrosia, do I still need to bring Sylvia's corpse?
Yeah, please make it so the children don't see that.
All right, I'll just cover it with some dirt here.
You've got a waistcoat, right? You could just sort of put her in your pocket.
I just eat her.
Is that your can't believe they didn't do that? They did that in a kid's movie?
Yeah. Waste not, want not.
Alex, You can now cast Unseen Hand.
Ah, the old ways of magic.
Is that how this works? I'm gonna start eating a lot of things. I'm gonna go all cipher on this barnyard.
I'm gonna pick up enough children until I become a pyromancer.
If you get all 10 animal spells, you become the ultimate animal.
Human. I'm going to cast Distract and Confuse. So I'm going to say this is probably a sly check to be sneak. Is this something? What is sly? Sneak, steal, or hide? No, this is a clever check, I think.
Yes. I'm just going to say yes to whatever Grant says.
I'm going to ride this horrible nightmare carpet of spiderlings, wink at Pep, and then go ramrod straight and go brrrr! And an enormous like a bouquet of flowers, several scars, a lot of confetti, a clown car comes out, just a load of stuff sprays out and clumps and clatters into the ground. So I am quite distracting, but let's see whether I'm distracting enough. That was a 7 on the dice.
Probably should have set the difficulty check before that.
Well, but, you can tell me if it's high or not. You tell me if it works or not.
I think this thing is pretty wild. I don't think it's near impossible, though. So, like, I think it was going to be a 9 at highest anyway. So, yeah, you succeed.
It's time. Pep, let's do this.
All right. Pep's going to run up there and use his newfound ability to slap an ass with an unseen hand.
His butt glows orange for a second, and then he falls over, prone, to the ground. And, like I said earlier, he's, like, an old guy, so he's, like, kind of slow to get back up, so you've got a moment to do something.
Come along, little spadlings, cast your fire magic.
I'm gonna catch him on fire! We are gonna catch him on fire!
Mama Ambrosia will show you how. And then Mother Ambrosia leads down and speaks in the dark tongue. That summons the fire.
And that sounds like...
That's it.
Yeah, if you want to catch this guy on fire, I'm gonna put this real high. It's going to be a near impossible. It's a 10. Like, at a 10. What did you roll?
But what am I... What am
oh, it's skill. I'm bad at this. This is a fierce. You are... It's a fierce. You are, like, attacking this person.
Well, despite the fact that I am a million tiny spiders, I have 0 fierce, and I rolled a 7, so that's just not going to cut it.
I'm going to use my, I can't believe they did that in a kid's movie, where they let you re-roll the dice. It doesn't make any sense. Why would they put that in the film?
That is not what that's for.
He wrote the game. I think he would know. He wrote it.
Took your house rule and broke it.
That's not what that's for.
No, okay, yeah, sure, fine. He doesn't catch fire, but he is distracted.
So you miss it. You miss him with this fire.
Did I get a danger?
Yeah, you get a danger whenever you use magic. And then he kind of, like, smiles. And again, it's not like a strangely sinister smile or anything. It's almost grandfatherly. And then you hear something over at the church. And the door does not burst open like you thought it might. The board that you put through the door, it just sort of undoes itself. Maybe mechanical, you're not sure. And the doors just open. And the townspeople walk out. And they stand behind Alameda Slim. And the twist that I rolled earlier was number 4. The witch hunter is waiting for you. And you are now, like, extremely outnumbered. Apparently, this entire town is behind Alameda Slim. And he says, that little patch of heaven is yours is powerful place. Practically an oil field of power. And she used it just to farm. There's so much more a wise man could do with it. That patch of heaven. That patch of power. But you see, your pearl's final spell actually did shoot off. I was pretty annoyed by that. And she put powerful protection spells on the farm at the expense of herself. And she made you the keys to undoing that spell, but I couldn't do a thing to you on the farm. So I just made sure you'd come after me. And I got one down. Now I just got two to go.
I'm sorry, you have a million and two to go.
That and then all the other familiars back at the farm.
As Pepper says that, like, you also hear some commotion behind you. And you
not
see
commotion.
That quivering in fear though they are, all of the other familiars have come to join you.
Oh no, the one thing they weren't supposed to do.
Yeah, they've plucked up the courage to come support you.
Dang it.
Dag nabbit.
Oh, I guess that's bad, isn't it?
Is this going to be one of those Disney films with a heartbreaking ending where all the characters... Hey.
No. They came to help you.
Oh, they came to help us, but here, they can be undone. They can be harmed by the witch hunter and his army of people. Now, it is quite hard to kill a cow, I should imagine.
We do it a lot.
I mean, like, hand to hand.
I certainly have never tried to murder
in
a cow.
Hand-to-hand combat.
Oh my god.
Aren't you glad I'm here?
Okay. I am going to rush forward. My wings flare like a phoenix. And I leap maybe two and a half feet off the ground and start fluttering madly. The distraction and confusion spell comes in again, and what I want to do is try and convince these people that the magic chicken is the real problem, when the actual problem is the millions of spiderlings crawling through their clothes and setting them on fire.
Yes, I would like to crawl through their clothes and set them on fire. We would like to do that.
We're going to do this one at a time. So Grant's success or failure will determine how hard... your role will be, Tensei, so...
I fucked up. I'm in danger.
Oh, God, no!
I fly forward and give it that cool phoenix thing. And the witch hunter grabs me by the legs and smacks me off the ground.
I don't know if you're dead here, but, like, I think you are...
I can't believe they did it in the kids' movie. Yeah, he just breaks my fucking neck. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Auntie Ambrosia!
Again, it sort of happens, like, off-screen, but it's still, like, insane that it happened, yes. I can't make your death in vain. That's no good. That's a distraction.
Hell yeah.
And so, Jinsei, I'm gonna make it a 7 for you to light everyone's clothes on fire. Make sure you give yourself a danger. And we're going to make this... We're going to make a sly roll, though.
Ah! I rolled an 8!
Hey! Everyone's on fire!
Yay! This is a very big turnaround tonally from the last thing that just happened. But, yeah, everyone has that, like, goofy, like, Disney thing where everyone starts, like, sniffing the air. Like, hey, what's cooking? What's cooking? And, like, there's, like, smoke rising from... And everyone's butts are now on fire.
Yes! Blame the butts.
And I think, like, this is the point that everyone, all the cows and stuff, would charge.
Does Grant get to roll a new character?
I'll be three cows.
This is. We're reaching the end, so I think this was probably going to be one of the last few actions that anyone was going to do.
I'll make some cow noises. Yes. That's what this cow sounds like.
All the cows have these, like, whispery, ethereal voices.
Yes. It's like fucked up, like, Dark Souls guy. Yeah.
They all have, like, black eyes.
Yes, we burn. Burn the butts.
The thundering begins.
So, they basically, like, run all of his reinforcements out of town and, like, you know, poke folks in the butt with their horns and stuff. The ones that are bulls. All that is left now is the witch hunter, his butt on fire. He is trying to pat it out, and he's going, ah, oh, my keister, or whatever. And so I'm going to let Pepper have the last action here.
Well, it seems like your behind's a little on fire there, son. Let me help you pat it out with an unseen hand. And he's going to slap him right across the butt.
All right, I'm going to make this a fierce roll.
Copper rolling.
And I'm going to call it a 7.
Wish me luck, because I got a 0 in fierce. God. I rolled a 2.
Oh, no!
And it's under my danger.
Bad end.
Man, we suck at this.
And that concludes the story of how all the main characters died.
So, yes, he is able to grab you and, like, he catches your hand. And, like, you realize that, boy, this all of this was his plan. And he, like, catches your little front paw. You don't really have a hand, but, you know. And he takes that box out of his jacket, the one with the long cow skull.
Then he beats me to death with it.
And he points it toward you, and a little flame comes out of you, and you just go limp, whatever. And then a little flame comes out of Ambrosia and enters the box. And a little flame comes out of Pepper's pocket where Sylvia is being... Oh, no, you ate her.
Off the bottom of off the witch hunter's boot.
Yeah. And he says, and that's all she wrote. But unbeknownst to him, the little squadron of a million spiders, which I don't think he has ever noticed.
Even when they set his butt on fire?
When they set everyone on fire?
I think that was clandestine. It was sly.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, I mean.
That's true. It was sneaky.
Jensi, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to make it a sly, so you'll have an advantage here.
Thank you.
And it's going to set the difficulty at like a 2.
Well, I can't make it lower than 6. I can't make it lower than 6.
Buddy, you can make it a 1 if you want.
Ooh. Is it a 6?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a 6.
I rolled a 9.
Because we have to have a happy ending. It is a Disney movie.
We burned for our friends.
And all million of them get on his butt.
Who hasn't used their... that?
It was me. I have not used mine. You used yours to murder me.
Can you... Okay, you may use yours to, like, do a surprisingly dark Disney villain death if you want. I'm talking, like, Tarzan or Nutsbeck of Notre Dame style.
Yep. Or Lion King style.
Yeah, Lion King style. Wait, how does this guy die?
A million spiders crawl all over him and burn...
They crawl into his butt and burn it from the inside.
Oh, so we're doing We're Back.
We hear Pearl's voice come in as a voiceover. My mama always said the worst way to die was to have a million spiders crawl into your mouth and anus and then set themselves alight. And I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy.
Yep, that's what happens.
So he's just like instantly like consumed by fire without like a trace of him left.
You think, right?
That's how we get around the it's a kids movie thing is like there's not a corpse left. And he's just like and the box falls to the ground. And when it falls, it bumps itself open and green flame erupts into the air over the prairie. And you see Ambrosia stir and awaken. And as flame goes back into her, and you see Pepper also awaken.
Cauliflower!
And then Pepper coughs up the now animated body of Sylvia.
Oh, my babies!
I guess you've defeated the town of Hope Springs.
Well, you know what they say. Hope springs eternal.
Except in this case. Because this is a wasteland and a ruin.
Ben. It's for whom the bell tolls.
Oh, good job.
Oh, nice.
We did it.
You did it. Full circle.
Maybe you like, it like cuts to you like riding back to the farm with like the bell like strapped to the back of Flop Sweat. You can see Pearl standing in the doorway of the farmhouse waiting for you to return. And she waves, and it plays like some song by like Kelly Clarkson over you guys reuniting.
Since you've been gone!
And that's it. That's our version of Home on the Range.
Was it
better? I don't know.
I've never seen it, but I'm going to say yes. Wholeheartedly yes.
Not enough Judi Dench in us.
Thank you for joining us, Grant.
Thank you for having me, Patton.
This was so much fun.
Wow, you're a funny guy, Grant.
Also, I didn't say this, but your ambrosia was 100% Frankenfurter.
Who's Frankenfurter? What's Frankenfurter?
From Rocky Horror?
I've not seen it. I don't know. Is that who's Frankenfurt? Is that the muscular
Curry.
Fellow? Tim Curry. Oh, great.
Tim Curry,
yeah. Oh, cool. 100%.
Oh, the cool guy.
Yeah, I'll take Tim Curry any day of the week. Wonderful.
Jesse just thinks all British people sound like Tim Curry.
Why do you say that? I've never said that.
Well, we sort of do. That was nowhere near Tim Curry.
Wait, is that Tim Curry?
Oh my god, Tim Curry.
Sounds like fucking Vincent Price.
If you're calling about the missing feet, please press 1.
Isn't Vincent Price American?
Wait, he may be.
Thank you for listening to Roleplay Retcon, folks. It doesn't matter.
Yes, Vincent Price is an American who often played British characters, so that's where I was. It's kind of like when you find out Tom Holland is British.
Tom Holland?
Grant, tell us one more time where we can find your cool shit.
When I'm not defending New York from the Vulture, I like playing role-playing games. And my favourite role-playing, I'm Tom Holland, my favourite role-playing game,
out you go. Again, I'm going to plug this again. This is a game called Hollows. It's an upcoming game. It's a tactical combat game about the death of empire and toxic masculinity and what it means to, and it's about depression, all sorts of really interesting things which I've experienced aside from the death of empire, which we wanted to write and turn into a sort of tactical combat, quite emotive as well, role-playing game. If you go to rrdgames.com/hollows, you'll get either a follow link to our crowdfunder, or just you'll be redirected to the crowdfunder. But whatever happens, you'll be able to access the quick start, The Sins of Grisham Priory, which sees you descend into a strange garden church to hunt down a bishop who has stolen so much money he's become a big nasty dragon.
That sounds so cool.
That
does pretty
sound
cool.
So
and it's
cool,
free.
Man.
You can have it now. You can go download it. It's available right now.
Let's do it. Let's go. Sorry. Bye, Grant. We got to go download some
bye.
Shit.
Bye.
if you didn't get all that, I'm going to get all those good links from Grant and put them in the episode description. Grant's also got a Patreon where he frequently uploads his games. I've been a patron for a while, and that's how I've gotten some of these games we played on the show. We also have a Patreon, and we did upload one free game one time. But there's lots of other cool stuff, too, like our very funny bloops reels, the occasional bonus episode, and our randos, which can be anything and everything recorded just for our patrons. Our next episode is another one-shot where we remake Waterworld with James D'Amato, the creator and former host of the One-Shot podcast and the author of the Ultimate RPG book series. We play his game Oh Captain, My Captain, which is based on Alex Roberts' For the Queen. So now we're going to say bye.
I don't wanna.
I know, it sucks.
I really like Grant. Can we keep him? Can we keep him?
I have a job. I can't.
No, Grant, it's over now. You're part of this
Grant,
podcast.
I'm playing hooky for my job, so maybe suck it up.
It was lovely to be on. Thank you very much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye kisses.